The Gospel, today's Mass, our Lord saith, "He who humbles himself shall be exalted." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We must be humble if we desire to be exalted unto heaven. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he tells us that humility, which is so necessary, it comes only through humiliations. And of the humiliations we can receive, the one that is perhaps the most profitable and most frequent is that of correction, receiving correction. Correction denotes the pointing out of a fault or defect in ourselves by another, whether it come from a superior, a parent, or a companion, or a spouse, or even an inferior, a child, whether it be in private or in public. And regardless of the intention of the one who gives it, whether it be good or bad, perhaps only to annoy, in all cases, it is most important for us to have a facility in accepting and profiting by these indications of our faults, whether they be real or apparent, as may happen. When a child is learning arithmetic, surely he must needs be corrected as he learns to apply the principles of math. And were he never corrected, he was always told he did well, he would go away thinking perhaps 2 + 2 = 5, or something else absurd. No, those corrections made by the teacher, they are for the child's own good, so that he can learn truly how to apply math, and he can use it in the real world. So we must also, each of us, keep in mind, to be able to bear corrections, that we are imperfect Christians, no doubt striving to become perfect images of Christ. There is hardly anything more conducive to this end of becoming perfect, becoming like Christ, than knowledge of ourselves. Knowledge, true knowledge of ourselves, comes through correction. We will not be like the Pharisee today in the Gospel, who foolishly stood in the front of the temple judging himself so good that he had nothing to ask from God. For if you pay attention, in his so-called prayer, he asks for nothing. And neither shall we be so content with ourselves that we do not find any room for improvement. St. John the Evangelist, he tells us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth of God is not in us. For all, save Our Lady herself, are subject to sin, and therefore defects, faults. The love of God moves us to never be content, but always to strive to improve. This very love of God we should often pray for. It is the motor force for everything that we should do or suffer. It's necessary to be able to learn correction. And now to receive correction itself, to do it well, we must also pray, for it is a most difficult thing. Pray, therefore, to be able to receive with meekness such corrections. And when undergoing a correction, be firm in restraining the cry of your sensitive nature. To receive correction well does not mean you will not feel that sting of pride, of hurt, wounded self-love. But when we find nature as such boiling up, and we want to resist, we want to speak out, complain, or say it's not true, or we want to at least show by actions or gestures our great displeasure, well, pray to Our Lady, your mother. As the ancient hymn to her goes, that is the one daily, daily sing to Mary. When the tempest, it says, rages round me, she will calm the troubled sea. This troubled sea would be your passions, the upset pride that would make you consent to resist the truth. With our efforts and prayers, we are able to hide all that bitterness, displeasure, deep down inside our hearts, and even show exteriorly that meekness, that contentment, even a smile in the face of it. For this is important, because to receive correction with meekness, all those exterior actions that calm, it is a great help to the interior disposition, that acceptance of what we are before God and even men. For all exterior actions, they do have a reaction on our interior. And we first learn to govern the externals, and by we will have a greater and greater control over what is deep down inside. And when we have that mastery inside, that is when the grace of God will truly exalt us. When it is hard, therefore, the word said by another, at least remain silent and try not to look vexed. And you might even try to look content. And if it's opportune, you can even thank the one correcting you. If we are tempted to be moody after the fact that we are corrected, we should react very strongly against this by prayer. We call our Lord Himself, how He was subjected to the greatest humiliations. He was deemed an inferior sort of man by His very relations and neighbors, saying He's but a carpenter's son. What knowledge does He have of letters of Scripture? By His enemies, as a seducer of the people, as a blasphemer. But He bore all these in silence, even though they were not true, but only apparent to them. Beware of a mood. For this defect of moodiness, it can easily grow into a habit if it's not fought at the beginning. And this kind of habit can be very difficult to overcome. Let us rather not try to make others regret having corrected us. As the one who is moody, that is what he's doing. He wants everybody to be sorry for what they've done to him. But no, we should rather pray for the one who corrects us, for he has done us, in fact, a great favor. And try by kindness and consideration to make the giving of corrections by superiors, especially parents, but even others, to make that as easy as possible for them. For often for the parents, the superior, it's not a pleasant thing to give corrections most of the time. Saint Therese, the little flower, she took this principle, this of considerateness in these circumstances, to such a great height of virtue that she, speaking of God, her Father in heaven, she was afraid to be ever moody or sad, melancholic in her behavior, even deep down in her heart, where no one else could see it. She was afraid of showing that because, as she said, God, He's my Father, and it already is hard for Him to correct me. Why should I add to his sorrow by showing my displeasure? So perfect had she mastered her interior. But that came through many years of effort of first governing the external. And this also is, as we may see, as we saw rather, from last Sunday to St. Lawrence. This is one of the secrets to learning to receive and appreciate corrections, that is, seeing God the Father behind it, the hand of God in it. For it is not this or that individual that corrects me. He has desired this for me. And that will help you to overcome whether the way it's given, whether it be rudely or kindly or forcefully or gently, or whether the person has really a place to give it or not. All those things, you can surpass all of them, because all of these things, God uses them to correct you. It is He who desires it. And when you see that, it's much easier to accept with humility. In the Pharisees, if you recall, in the Gospel during Lent, we read this, that they were questioning this peasant. He was a beggar, and he was miraculously cured by our Lord. Our Lord sent him to them to prove his divinity. And when this man charged the Pharisees, asking them, "Will you also believe him? For you see that I can now see that I have been cured." And they said, "Who are you to teach us, you son of sin? We have received the teachings from Moses. We are the priests. Who are you to ask us this question?" They did not see the hand of God in that inferior who asked them, who charged them with a fault. Let us not be so. In the Gospel today, the publican, he heard first the accusation of that Pharisee before he began to pray. And he realized that it was true. And so he turned to God and prayed, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And our Lord says he went home justified rather than the Pharisee. The fathers of the church say today's parable is a presentation of a sort of combat or contest. There are two chariots, and the one is saddled the justice together with pride, and the other chariot is sin with humility. Christ tells us who has won this contest. It is the latter. So also the good thief, the sinner, the murderer, humbling himself, being corrected at that moment by the most severe justice of crucifixion, he merited to enter heaven even before the very apostles. Let us therefore not hate ourselves or be too hard on ourselves for requiring corrections in the first place. We have faults. Or let us not displease excessively ourselves at the thought of our imperfection. Even despite our best efforts, we will cause displeasure to others for them. No, because all these things, they are able to work towards our greater good. Because we are able to humble ourselves on these occasions that they arise. Humble ourselves before God, trusting that something far greater is laid up for us than if we had never fallen to begin with. So St. Paul said, "Gladly will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.